The Marguerite Environmental Association, I think, was the first group to really oppose the notion of oil and gas drilling in the Marguerite watershed and in general in Cape Breton. So as soon as we heard that Petroworth had been given, I think, over 300,000 acres of land to explore in, we wrote a letter to the government and said we didn't think that was cool, that there had been no public discussion about giving out a permit in this area, and we thought there should have been, and that the government should withdraw it, and they didn't. And there was a tremendous amount of community opposition to oil and gas permits being given out, and the company was finally given the authority by the minister this summer, and that wasn't made public until after the Energy Department also gave them a permit, so that they kind of hid the environmental approval, the Department of Environment. And our group took a look at it, and a lot of the discussion had been around fracking and the risks of fracking, and our group had continuously put out the point of view was that this is just an inappropriate activity, oil and gas, in our region and in our area, and that simply the general activity of oil and gas exploration wasn't appropriate, especially in the absence of any guidelines or regulations relative to our ecosystem and where the public lives. So when we took a look at the permit, we took a look at the company's application, and the company's application was less than 100 meters from a home, less than 500 meters from three or four homes, 30 meters from a brook, and about a half a kilometer from Lake Ainslie and another brook that runs into Lake Ainslie. And Lake Ainslie is the Marguerite watershed, and the Marguerite watershed is one of the only two Canadian heritage rivers which is not in a undeveloped area like a wilderness area. So this is really significant that this river qualifies, and that was our general notion. And then we took a look at the actual authority of the permit that the Department of Environment had issued, and it allowed stuff like flaring. And I don't think anybody'd ever kind of thought about it properly, that when the drill rig comes in, they're going to flare, and those flares can be extremely toxic. The potential for hydrogen sulfide, which is extremely deadly and toxic, being released in our neighborhood and right next to homes. And we just thought this was ultimately, there couldn't be a worse example of the Department of Environment doing their job less properly than to say it's perfectly fine to give out permission to do this right next to homes and watercourses. So we said, let's go and appeal under the Environment Act and have this quashed and try to keep out this kind of activity in our area. The day we're talking here is 4 days after the time that the minister was given to respond to our legal filing under the appeal. To have him say, I'm quashing the permit or everything's fine with it, and there's been no response from the government, and they're 4 days overdue, so the case is actively being begun, I guess, in a sense that if the minister isn't even going to respond, we still have to go forward with the case.
Your group is in opposition to all kinds of oil and gas drilling. What makes the environment there different than, say, a prairie environment? Why is it too sensitive an environment to even attempt to explore for oil and gas in?
Mm-hmm. Well, to a large extent, we're living in an unindustrialized environment. There is not an oil and gas industry existing here, and really in Nova Scotia. Yeah. So as Nova Scotians, we have to really think about whether or not we want to have our area industrialized with an oil and gas industry which has tremendous potential to pollute our air and our water and change our communities significantly through their industrialization. And there's been no discussion about this. The government has passed rules and regulations which are all about allowing this industry to do whatever they want. It's almost as if the industry's written these rules and regulations for themselves. And this is not okay. The region we live in is, as the native people in our area say, it's full of water. It's not okay to come into ecologically sensitive areas. Even besides the harmful effects that oil and gas is having in Western Canada, from a quick view perspective, if you're on the prairies and there's no water courses for quite a long way, you can at least think you're not going to have a direct impact on a water course if you have a spill. Theoretically, I think the oil and gas industry kept away from people's homes in the old days. They certainly don't now. It's just really inappropriate. And the other thing about our communities is we've done a tremendous amount of work in the last 30 years on continuing them to be sustainable communities, in the sense that we think that we're better positioned to really engage heavily with development of renewable energy in our homes. We really value the ecological integrity of the environment we live in. It's not pristine, but it's, you know, a lot of us drink water, surface water still. At least in Inverness County, we're the third wealthiest county per capita in the province, and we've got a lot of new kind of what I call community activity. A lot of people who work, have their own small businesses, work from home, and are living where we're living because of the environment. So that's, and there's a big tourism industry. I mean, it'll significantly change tourism if we have an oil and gas industry.
The one site so far, this test site that's been approved, what does it look like and what does it suggest in terms of being representative of what might go through if this is allowed to go through?
You couldn't have a worse example that the province is being saying okay to. If the drilling happens there, it can happen anywhere. It can literally happen across the street from where you live in the neighbor's backyard. That's where it's going to happen. It's that much of an example.
And then when can we expect a response from the minister or the Department of Energy based as to your appeal?
I mean, we'd really like the minister to show up and say, oh, gee whiz, I never thought about this. I made a mistake. I'm quashing the permit. I'm going to hold hearings around the province to see how close people want oil and gas drilling to their homes and water courses. We're going to have to take some time and figure out where's appropriate in the province and where isn't appropriate, because obviously everywhere isn't okay. But I think what we're going to find from the minister is that the minister is saying, no, everywhere is okay. And that's really, I think, coming directly out of the Premier's office as well. This is a top-down government in which ministers have very little outright ability to think on their own. And it's a very top-down government. So anything that is coming out like a permit like this, you can be sure has been more than okayed by the Premier's office.
And then why the rush? I mean, we've seen other sources of energy, such as wind. There are at least guidelines.
This is a very clear example of government intentions. So if government wants renewable energy developed, they could develop a series of friendly guidelines that are appropriate for communities and developers. And they could go forward and put significant public money and attention. If the government says, this is what we want, the public and the business community generally say, oh, that's what we'll do. If the government says it's open for business for oil and gas with very little regulations and we're helped to give you tax breaks and help to finance these things, that means that's what we want you to do in Nova Scotia. This is what we want. And what we find when we look at Nova Scotia jurisdiction is it's extremely difficult and restrictive to try to do anything in renewable energy, and it's extremely open for oil and gas. So the other thing I've come to realize in the last year or so is you may hear that we're under a lot of fiscal restraint, but the provincial government has between $350 million and $500 million a year that's discretionary to figure out what they want to do with. And that is not going into the things that most of us want. It's going into supporting the same old pulp and paper industries without changing the way they work for the environment. And it's encouraging military industries to come to the province, and it's encouraging oil and gas to come to the province. So there is a lot of way in which the government, through its money and its mouth, can direct what goes on here. And this is probably the least green government we've seen since John Buchanan in the early 80s.
Thanks a lot for your time today, Neil.
Okay, bye.